This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Our Father, we thank you for this morning. Thank you for how well you have helped us. Thank you for how you have pushed things into our hearts. We say thank you. Even as we enter even into the second lesson, O God, we are praying, O God, that we receive all that you have prepared for us in this lesson. We say that our hearts will be opened up again. We pray for hunger. We pray for desire. We pray for thirst. And we pray for understanding to flood our hearts in the name of Jesus. Thank you, our Heavenly Father. For in Jesus' name we have prayed. Praise the Lord. Okay, last week we started a theme, maintaining the Spirit-filled life, cultivating nature of love, and bearing fruit of the Spirit. And this is lesson two. Last week was our introduction. And today, the topic for today is the Spirit-filled fruitful life, Ephesians 5, 7 to 21. Be not therefore partakers with them, for ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the world. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. Wherefore he saith, Awake, thou that sleepest, and arise from the dead, and Christ shall give the light. See then that ye walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine, wherein in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Galatians 5, 22-23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such, there is no law. Let me quickly go over the recap of what we had last week. As believers, we are planted in the Lord's vineyard and expected to bring forth fruit, and we are expected to bring forth pleasant and enduring fruits. This is only possible when we engage the reign of His Word and Spirit that comes to nourish and bring about growth. Fruit bearing is a spiritual reality. It unfolds within the soul and bears witness to the nature that constitutes a man inwardly. God Himself is a being of nature, and created man to partake of his divine nature. Nature refers to the basic inherent traits, characteristics, inward formation, and constitution of an entity. Due to the fall, man inherited a fallen nature, but at the new birth, the Holy Spirit comes to dwell in the heart of the believer. His work begins in the soul, transforming and renewing from within, only when the believer engages in a consistent walk in the Spirit. Fruit bearing is not physical multiplication. It is primarily about producing spiritual expressions, conversations, and a lifestyle that is acceptable and approved by God. Today, we have three objectives. We want to look into three things. The first is to expose and emphasize the Spirit-filled life for nature, cultivation, and fruit bearing. The second one is to define the character of the fruit born by maintaining a Spirit-filled life. And lastly, we want to show the mannerism of a believer who is filled with the Spirit. Quickly going into our introduction. Righteous men, saints, prophets, and pilgrims of the Old Testament bore a portion of the Spirit upon them. They followed the leading and dealings of the Spirit, and in the process were brought into a measure of being filled with the Spirit. Through this, they bore certain fruit of the Spirit within their souls, even though their spirits remained dead due to the fall. The second point, most of the Old Testament prophets and righteous men submitted to and engaged with the Holy Ghost. And through this, they experienced nature formation. They bore fruit from this formation and carried out their ministries from that inward transformation with the Holy Ghost upon. They were able to walk with God and be profitable in their ministries because they yielded to the workings of the Holy Ghost. The Holy Spirit himself is a member of the Godhead and is entirely fruitful by virtue of the nature inherent within the Godhead. The anomaly of soul barrenness in the Spirit often exists in a believer primarily due to the failure to walk in the Spirit, to maintain constant communion, and to remain continually filled with the Spirit. Isaiah 63 verse 11 says, "Then he remembered the days of old, Moses and his people, saying, where is he that brought them up out of the sea with the shepherd of his flock? Where is he that put his Holy Spirit within him?" 1 Peter 1:11 says, "Searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ which was in them did signify when he testified beforehand the suffering of Christ and the glory that should follow." This is speaking about righteous men, saints, and prophets of old. Began to ask, said he put his Holy Spirit within them. That's Isaiah 63 verse 11. Now this Holy Spirit here that he said he puts within them is not the person of the Holy Spirit. He's not talking about the personality or the being of the Holy Ghost. Why? Because their spirits were dead. You know, their spirit was not made alive. If you remember, when we had a series of Holy Ghost and you, it was clear that the way Holy Ghost operated with the saints of old is that he was with them. The saints of Old Testament prophet saints in Patriarchs and the New Testament saints, Holy Ghost is with both of them. But one is without and one is within. So for the saints of old, they had the Holy Ghost with them. But that with is a without operation. Meaning he could not operate from within their spirits. But for a New Testament believer, Holy Ghost resides in your spirit. Why? Because your spirit man has been made alive. Now, because of where the Holy Ghost was with them, because he was on their without, he also needed to carry out certain works in their souls. It was by operation of his without work that he began to impute things within their soul. So the Holy Ghost was working on their souls from without. We need to fear the person of the Holy Ghost. Even without him staying inside, he could still carry out certain works that could make nature to be changed to an extent. Certain measurements of change was recorded in the souls of those people. And that is why, you know, relationship of the Holy Ghost with these people was much more of external than internal. All these men were groomed by the Holy Ghost. Imagine, is it Isaiah that he received instruction that for 390 days, you must sleep on one side of the bed? In his mind, every night as he's entering, he knows I must sleep on this side of the bed. After 390 days, you now sleep on the other side for another 40 days. Or is it Ezekiel that they will command him that even though he lost a loved one, he must not cry? This was after they had become prophets. Showing us that even before they became prophets, there were instructions and commandments that they were keeping. The Holy Ghost began to bring unto them certain things that could bring the oppression of nature formation within them. And it is because of those instructions, certain things were being tampered in their souls. Because that kind of thing, you must have consciousness of that instruction. Day in, day out, knowing that you cannot just do anything anyhow. That was what was recorded. We don't even know much more that was not even recorded. Because we got to meet Isaiah when he became a prophet. Look at Samuel from age 3. He began to hear the voice of the Lord speak to him. Mean that, you know, all these men, they had different diverse ways that the Holy Ghost came to them. Samuel, it was by the audible voice. He was hearing as though Eli was the one calling him. So they spoke about Abraham. They said when Stephen was giving a record, he said that the God of glory appeared unto our father. So that appearance could have been a vision. Look at Ezekiel by the rivers of Cheba. He had open visions of God. He did not need to sleep. He was opening his eyes and he was seeing into the realm of the spirit. You know, all these things came as a result of grooming of the Holy Ghost.
So because of that, Holy Ghost could begin to do certain work within them. The work done within them was commensurate to what the Holy Ghost could do upon them. The differences in the strength of what the Holy Ghost did within them was the strength of how the Holy Ghost could express upon them. So when they say John is the prophet of the highest, he had a greater measure of working in his soul than every other prophet. So they engaged the Holy Ghost. But now look at us, that we have the Holy Ghost inside us. The expression of the Holy Ghost in their time was much more visible and external than it is internal. Now, from the external, Holy Ghost could affect, influence, tamper with their souls. But currently, Holy Ghost is much more wanting to do more than that from within. Looking at life in the Spirit, Galatians 5:25, we've talked about righteous men, saints, and prophets of old. Now coming to us as believers, you know, we are looking at reasons why it's possible for a man, although you have the Holy Ghost on your inside, it's as though nothing is happening. A believer must not only be made alive, but must also live in the Spirit. To walk in the Spirit is to move forward, to advance steadily and intentionally, step by step, just as one walks by lifting and setting down each foot in turn. It signifies an actual, vibrant existence, actively thriving, vigorous and strong, like the burning or glowing of a live coal. Life in the Spirit begins with actively and continually acknowledging and engaging the person of the Holy Ghost within the regenerated spirit. However, wicked works in the mind of a believer make it difficult to maintain the consciousness of the indwelling spirit. This necessitates the need to begin mechanically through deliberate, disciplined acts of communion until the soul is trained to respond naturally and consistently to the Spirit's presence. The need to begin mechanically through deliberate, disciplined acts of communion. Hallelujah. You know, this is the reason why you cannot leave your communion to chance. This is the reason why you cannot be a spontaneous believer. But you know that behind that is a whole lot of labor already gone into it. Lord told Pastor Kenneth Hagin, he said that read your scripture as though you want to teach. Study, be diligent. But when you get there, allow me to lead. But he did not negate the fact that he needed to prepare. Although he prepared, he got to that point, but Holy Ghost now took over. You know, if you ask certain people, okay, how do you engage the Holy Ghost? Just say as it comes. Your communal life cannot be as it comes. You will not utilize the full import and imprint of the Holy Ghost like that. If you are not disciplined, they call it disciplined acts of communion. I like that word, disciplined acts of communion. Look at our Lord Jesus Christ with what was resting upon him. They had said that this is my beloved son. They said a great while before the day broke, he said he withdrew himself and prayed. You know, it's possible to have so much revelation that you say, now, when you are doing your work, that's when I withdraw myself. When you're on your computer, I withdraw myself. You're not withdrawing anything. There must be intentional, disciplined acts of communion. Now, these are times whereby you create a routine for yourself. Do you know how the world does not leave things to chance? When you say you want to make a doctor out of a person, from age 3, you start carrying him to school to separate him from his parents so that he can be exposed to teachers. He can be exposed to other people that can begin to impute things inside him. And he will do that for another 20 years of his life, going by 8 o'clock and coming by 4 p.m. After they even take extra lesson for that child. Because what they are doing to that child is a disciplined act. They are subjecting him to an atmosphere because of learning. Compare that child to another child that they left to chance. You will see that after 20 years, what that child will be is different from what the other child will be. Then what makes you think your spiritual life can be different? If you leave things to chance, as it comes. Sunday, Sunday. When you open your Bible is when you are here in church on Sunday. When daddy say open your Bible, that is when you open your hardcover Bible. Throughout the week, you have been feasting on phone. You know, because Your spirit man is life because of righteousness. But your soul wants to fetch life. So what do you do when you want to fetch life? It's like a phone that you need to charge. Now, there's electricity in the house. But a phone can be dead even though there's electricity in the house. So there is a connector between the phone and the electricity. They call it a charger. A man can be alive in his spirit but dead in his soul. Because the connection between the spirit and the soul is lacking. So what a disciplined act of communion does to you is that it brings your soul and connects it to the spirit. So that there is a continual communication, transference of energy between the spirit and the soul. Call it disciplined act of communion. Your flesh will fight you. You will open your Bible and begin to read it. Your mind does not want you to read that Bible. You cannot say, because I don't understand, I'm bored, and you close it. You must continue. You tell your mind, I don't understand, but I will understand. Why? Because you are not the one directing and dictating to me. Apostle Paul said that I bring my body under. We must be believers that bring our bodies under. Even when you don't understand, you will sit with it. We are in a generation that whenever we are bored, say, I'm bored. And that boredom will not happen when you are watching comedy on your phone. You will never be bored when you are seeing movies in their series. You know, that thing will keep your soul alive. Do you know why the mind is engaged when certain things are presented to it? It's because the spirit running that mind is attached to such things. So when you now want to retrain the mind, when you want to renew that mind and begin to expose it to something else, you begin to encounter roadblocks. You begin to encounter warfare. Because the mind is not used to what you are bringing. What is the unsearchable riches of Christ? What's my business? When I've not made the riches on the earth. Why? Because to that mind, what is much more important is the riches of the earth. So when you begin to see unsearchable riches of Christ, it doesn't even care. We can hide under the guise of everything the world has to offer. But to build a relationship, you must have disciplined and dedicated intentional behavioral pattern change. That's why marriage changes you. You cannot be the single guy that can just wake up in the morning and just go anywhere they like again. Because you are building communion. No relationship thrives without intentionality. So you have the Holy Ghost, but you are not engaging Him. You wake up in the morning and then, boo, the first thought on your mind as you wake up is, office, traffic. Even when you remember the way that some people, when you go to the junction, if you are not mobile, if you are not driving, and you want to enter, but see the way they are fighting each other. So I'm just trying to make you see that, you know, that to build relationship, there must be intentionality. There must be deliberate, disciplined act of communion. And many times, that thing is painful to your flesh. It's painful to your flesh. It will touch everything about you. So you cannot say communion with the Holy Ghost will not tamper with certain things about you. Some people, they might even be waiting that, okay, when the Holy Ghost ministers to me and gives me, oh, my son, I want you to start having your morning prayers, you know, from like 4 to 4:30. Holy Ghost doesn't necessarily need to come and do that. You engage. When you have that dedicated to that, you must give time. You must give time to communion. And apart from that, your mind must also still be stayed on Him. When it becomes religion, you know, is when it becomes a religious routine. Routines are not bad in themselves. Do you know routines are not bad in themselves? To master something, there must be a routine. But it can become religious. You know, I remember back then in school, because we know certain escorts, we ask you, what did you read this morning? And I wanted something to give them. So when I wake up, I also read something. I was not communing, but I was carrying out a routine. We are not doing that because we just want to feel good that, oh, I've had my morning devotion. No, we are waking up with an understanding that without the Holy Ghost, I'm finished. So there must be disciplined acts of communion. That's where many of us, we have leakages. We have leakages there. After we've had a powerful message, where we pour everything is inside our phone. Because you are not just hearing message. Apostle Paul said that me that I'm least has this grace been given, you know, to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. It is as he's preaching, there are transferences of things from him to you. He's just like a conduit that is speaking from the realm of the spirit and transmitting it to you. So a powerfully charged atmosphere like this, where Holy Ghost has dropped many things, a man can receive so much, but yet utilize so little. Why? Because there are leakages. Certain meetings just need that you go home and say, 1 hour, I just want to spend it with the Holy Ghost. I want to internalize all that I have heard. I want to internalize all that I have heard.
The leading of the Spirit, the manifestation of the gift of the Spirit, sobriety of heart, Holy Spirit consciousness, and cultivation of a spiritually alive atmosphere, and fervent communion are all contributing factors to a life filled with the Spirit. A well-rounded and consistent engagement with the Holy Spirit is what forms a healthy and vibrant life in the Spirit. 1 Corinthians 12:7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. 2 Corinthians 13:14. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen. Ephesians 5:18-19. So be not drunk with wine when in excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your hearts to the Lord. You know, this just speaks about different ways Holy Ghost can push the soul to express. Now, one of the ways that, you know, spirits moved, you know, even in the Old Covenant, we could see Saul, who was not in the company of the prophets. Because he entered their company, he began to prophesy. That's why company is very important. Because when a company carries a spirit, when another, which is not of them, comes in, it's easier for him to receive that spirit. It's easier for that spirit to rest on him. That's why your company matters a lot. Imagine when they flogged the apostles, you know, in the book of Acts chapter 4, and scripture recorded that they went back to their own company. Say, and when they prayed, said the place was what? Shaking. And they were what? They were filled again. So our coming together, our prayer is not because we just want to carry out routines. It's because of filling of the Holy Ghost. And when Holy Ghost fills you, it's not just about feel good. No, when they were filled, something happened. They became bold. I'm not talking about, you know, natural loudness. Man can be naturally loud, but he's not bold in the things of the Spirit. This boldness is a substance that the Holy Ghost can put in a soul. So a man can say that, oh, I'm shy. But when the Holy Ghost rests on that man, things happen. When you think of Samson, what is this body frame or body structure that you think of? If Samson was a very muscular man, they don't need to be asking him the source of his strength. If Samson was that giant like Goliath, who was asking Goliath the source of his strength? They knew, they said since his youth, they could trace him. But this guy, lege. But when they tie him with new ropes, they said when the Philistines cried against him, he said something rested on him. And then the new ropes, he said, became as flax. Do you know what flax is? It's a flax that has burnt. It was as though he did not know that there was anything on his hand. It just broke off. You know, what was to them many times external, they want to make it internal to us. So there's something that they can impute within you. It's called spirit. It's spirit. That when spirit enter you, the prophet said, and the spirit entered me. When something enter you, will know. You will not be talking and be timid. In certain places, you will carry your head up and you will speak certain, and you'll be like, what manner of man is this? I had a meeting, you know, earlier this week, you know, with some of my people at my workplace. And before I entered that meeting, my heart was already shaking. I was feeling palpitations, but I just began to pray in the Holy Ghost. And by the time I was entering like this, oh my God, I felt a new surge of power within me. When I sat down and began to explain to them, they were like, the way you're explaining it, it makes it better and clearer. We can understand better now. Oh, okay, they began to write down what I was saying. I'm like, oh, thank you, Holy Ghost. I was not speaking from understanding what I knew about that thing. Holy Ghost gave me analogies to use. So, one of the things you must be very jealous about is your atmosphere.
So when you are around people that are gossiping, my brother, run. That thing can contaminate your atmosphere. Because they are not just gossiping, they are transferring spirits. They are not just talking bad about somebody. It's called emission. Emission of spirits. You can be there as they are saying it in the guise of let's pray for this person. But before you know it, you have received certain spirits. That is coloring your atmosphere. You must be jealous about your atmosphere. You must fight to retain the sanctity of your atmosphere. Your spiritual atmosphere. When you're in your workplace and you're seeing many rubbish things, and you know, you must guard that thing jealously. You must guard it jealously with the whole of your heart. So your company matters. The consecrations you keep also matter. To guard your atmosphere, your consecrations also matter. Many of our fathers in the faith, they have different consecrations, oh, that the Lord is using to keep them in check and to ensure that the wine keeps increasing, that the measure of the wine never goes down. The fact that you plug a phone and it's 100% full does not mean that after a while of using, it will not go down. So that is why you must keep on connecting. You must continually do what? Connect back to the source. Amen. We have some phones that their battery rate can last you for 3 hours without charging. Some 5 hours without charging. Consecrations that you must keep. Your mouth. You meet a lot of women that they don't care that this child is their child. They use a lot of curse words. From little, I began to develop hatred for that thing. You know, and one of the things that the Holy Ghost, he helped me to do, is that my mouth will not be for idle words. No one other place says that in the multitude of words, sin is not wanting there. When you can just talk and talk and talk and talk, you don't know that every word, every idle word, you will give account of it. Now, if you know that, you'll be careful of what you say. Sometimes you even have opinion on some things, but you will shut up. We have opinion, but you say, I'm not talking on this matter. That place said, in the multitude of words, they wanted nothing. Is it 1 Peter that was talking about, he that will love life and see good days, let him refrain his lips. Your words can generate an atmosphere around you. You be careful about what you say. You be careful about what you lend your mouth to. You will not lend your mouth to everything. In fact, you even go to a place of your thoughts. You know, begin to x-ray your thoughts. A spiritual life is a will-fulfilled life marked by sensitivity, yielding, and submission to every directive of the Holy Spirit. Such a lifestyle is consistently concluded in repentance and obedience, which tenderizes the heart for nature formation and fruit bearing. I saw a movie a while ago. You know, that guy, he had a dream. He had a dream, you know, and in that dream, you know, there was this pot that was burning. You know, he put a big pot on fire, you know, and what was inside it was burning. And in that dream, he carried the pot as hot as it was and placed it on the ground. And he did not feel any pain. So they were just trying to give an analogy that it is because he has been doing it over and over and over and over. First time he tried to carry the pot, he will feel the pain. In fact, you know, there's this white blister that used to grow and have grown on his hand. Maybe not that. He did it again. Again. No, a time will come that you'll be able to carry that pot conveniently and you will not know that you have carried anything. Just like this frog. If you put it in hot water, it will jump out. But what if you want to kill that frog with hot water still, alive? Just put it in cold water, but begin to gradually heat up the water. So it has a mechanism in its body to adjust to the temperature of the water. So when the water becomes 5 degrees Celsius, it can increase it and it will be fine. 10 degrees, it will be fine. And it keeps increasing until it gets to that point that it can no longer go further. By that point, it has used so much of its resources that it cannot jump out again. So it dies in that water. That's how searing is. You've entered a room that is smelling badly. While you're entering, like this, what's smelling here? I give it to you, stay in that place for 15 minutes. You will no longer perceive that smell again. It will take another person coming from outside to say, what is smelling here? You'll be like, we smelled it, but we are used to it. Why they are pushing certain agendas into your face is because they want you to smell it to a point that you no longer smell it again. You are okay with it. Sensitivity is very important to the Holy Ghost. We cannot be spiritually dull. We cannot be a people that are spiritually dull. You know, we must be alert. We must be very sensitive. You say something that everybody around feels is okay. Well, Holy Ghost is prompting you that what you said is not good. Go and apologize. And everybody will be like, go sing Gokon. I cannot go and apologize. In fact, sometimes you apologize, but you'll be like, there's no, I didn't even count it. It's not for that person's counting. It's for your own sensitivity. It is therefore important to know that a spirit-filled life is not characterized by spookiness, nor is it meant for showmanship or building a reputation among the saints. Rather, it is primarily and solely for cultivating the nature of love and bearing the fruit of the Spirit. We learn the Spirit, the how of the life of the Spirit, by yielding and obeying from the heart. Learning is the process of acquiring new understanding, knowledge, behaviors, skills, values, attitudes, and preferences. It is the acquisition of knowledge or skills through study, experience, or being taught. So all these things I've said can be learnt. The Spirit can be learnt. Can be learnt. Because everything that we know today, we also learnt them. Everything that we have today, we also learnt them. So we can also learn the life of the Spirit. You know, there is a way a person can interpret what we are saying and bring it to a place of interpreting spirituality as exalting yourself above others and trying to show that you have certain depths of understanding that others don't have. That is separating yourself. And that is sensual. Spookiness. There are many things attached to it. When you say somebody is spooky, is that he's giving much more attention or much more interaction to spectacular than spiritual. Do you know that a man can begin to see certain things, begin to have visions, begin to see certain things, and he will not be in the confines of the Holy Ghost? So what we call spooky is that there's a life base that builds up certain substances within you that makes you to operate the way you are operating. Now, when you take away that life base and then you want to start operating from high up, a spooky man is not humble. A spooky man is not meek. A spooky man, he exalts certain gifts above the nature formation within him. So what he's pushing is the spectacular that he can operate in. But when you look behind that spectacular, it is lacking life. It is lacking order of the Spirit. They call something order of the Spirit. It's lacking all those things. And you know, learning, you know, we cannot really learn without being brought under tutors and governors. It's impossible. And you know, that thing must continue. Because without that, yes, I believe in personal, you know, relationship with the Holy Ghost. It's very important. That's what I've been talking about. But what we use in that personal relationship is what we have gathered from what we have learned. How many of you want to go and do assignments without collecting it from school? That's how we are. You know, you do assignment at home. But where did that assignment come from? So, teachers must give you assignments that you must now use at home. Now, imagining somebody crying that, well, all these schools, they're not allowing me to do my assignment. They don't want me to be coming to school every day. Can't I just have like 5 days in the week just to do my assignment? When I'm ready, I'll go back to school. Which assignment does that person want to be doing? His own assignment, right? So when we talk about personal engagement with the Holy Ghost, it stems from what we have learned. Because you must bring something to the place of personal fellowship. You are not manufacturing what you are going to use. Because what do you have to fellowship with the Holy Ghost? You must get it. Because what is fellowship? Fellowship is not just you open your Bible and you start reading it and you start crying. No. I can carry a baby and throw a baby up, kiss the baby, hug the baby, but we are not fellows. Because we don't have same substances that we can fellowship with. It is two ways. So if we are to fellowship, there must be a supply and a receiving. But naturally, do you know you don't have what it takes to fellowship? No man has what it takes to fellowship. We must fetch. Can't say I must fetch from the abundance of my teachers. The proof and character of spirit-filled life, Ephesians 5, 9 to 10. Through communion and fellowship, man bore fruit of darkness from uncleanness to iniquity unto iniquity. As a result of the fallen nature acquired through the fall. In the same way, fellowship with the Holy Ghost brings forth fruit consistent with his person. Below are the character of the fruits born by maintaining a spirit-filled life. Number one, all righteousness. The life engaged by a spirit-filled believer is a faith-ordered life. Such a believer walks according to a spirit-revealed manner of life, not by stereotype religious routines. He attains the standards revealed by the Spirit and can only bring forth fruit that align with the standard of life unveiled through faith. Romans 1:17. For then is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith. The Spirit-filled, fruitful life is a new life that renews the soul by the supply of new things revealed and fetched from the Spirit. Through constant filling, addition with spiritual substances, which are thoughts, understanding, judgment, and reasoning, the believer is set apart from the old manner of life. The Spirit-filled life is therefore new through righteousness. Now, this is what we are talking about. These are parameters to judge that really what you are doing or what you are engaging in is a Spirit-filled life. There are parameters and benchmarks. There are things to look out for, like a litmus test. That when you take a litmus paper and you put it in a particular acid or base, there's a particular color it gives you, right? So when you dip these things in certain parameters, you either see that it is spirit-filled or not spirit-filled. Now, when you talk about all righteousness, do you know what righteousness is? The righteousness is from the word right. But when you are looking at right, they are right in different calibrations. But here we are talking about right according to God. What God calls right is righteousness. Now, Romans was now saying that I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. Inside it is the righteousness of God, revealed from faith to faith. You know, there was a time Jesus was asking his disciples, who do men say that I am? And he said, some say you are what? John the Baptist. Some say you are what? Elias. Some say you are what? Jeremiah. Jesus now said, who do you say I am? Who do you say that I am? Why? Because the definition of others must be different from your definition. The limitation of everybody around you is based on their knowledge gap. What they know, they've read about Jeremiah. They've read about Elias. In fact, they've seen John the Baptist. So because of that, whatever comes after it, we're equating Jesus to all those things. But righteousness is the ability to see into the true nature of Jesus. Until you can do that, you have not attained unto righteousness. Righteousness is not for the do's and don'ts. Is that you can have eyes to see into the inward makeup of a person. So when he said, who do you say I am? And Peter said, thou art Christ, the Son of the living God. Jesus shouted. He said, flesh and blood has not revealed this to you. Flesh and blood reveals things to people. Oh my God. Flesh and blood reveals things to people. All the definitions we have on earth today is because flesh and blood has revealed it to them. Say, but my Father, the Father came and revealed something. That is righteousness. And Jesus said, because of this, you are blessed. Say, you are Peter. It has changed your nature. Because of revelation, there is a change that can happen to your nature. From flesh to spirit. From reed to rock. I just want to use that to give an example. There's an adage in the world today that says that a patient dog. Now, you see patience in that place. Delayed gratification, right? Do you know why it's not the righteousness of God? Because the patient dog does not convert to sheep. It is a dog that still wants to eat bone. So nature change does not happen. But there is a reward that he's looking forward to. So his patience is because of something he's looking for. It is called a fat bone. So if he has a fat bone after his patience, then he can justify that the reason for my patience has been done. But no change has happened to that soul. Patient dog still remain dog.
My intention is to drive down, is to come down, is to come to the deepest being, the deepest part of your being. I want to change you from within. I want to go down, even to the places where you found from. Oh, it's not just a makeover. It's not just a makeover on the surface. I do not just want to change your outlook. I want to change your being. I want to change your person. I want to change you from within. I want to come down. I want to come down. So you see, by this avenue, even by the avenue of the Spirit, I have powers. I have powers. I have saving powers. I have power even to touch you, even in places that you do not even know of, even in your recess, even in your reins, even down to your reins. I can touch. I can change a man. I can change a man indeed and in truth. Allow, even down to your thinking pattern, even down to your mind, even down to your heart. Oh, salvation is thorough. Salvation is a thorough walk. It's a thorough walk. So don't look down. Don't look down. Don't settle for less. Allow me travel down. Allow me travel even to your deepest parts. Allow me change you from within out, say the Spirit of God.
So when you are talking about all righteousness, you are talking about revelation of revealed standard of God. Because you can't stumble on those standards. They are not standards that you fetch on the street. They call them unsearchable. And it must take God to bless you with them. It must take God to bring you to a place where all of a sudden you see. You know, because when you are exhibiting certain things that looks like, let's say looks like fruits, you are walking towards nature formation and fruit bearing. When they x-ray that man's mind that is being patient, that is delaying gratification, that is enduring certain things, the intent of his heart, by the time they put it on the table, he no pass bone. That's why a person can patiently endure his boss, learning office politics, because he knows at the end you can get promotion. That is not what we are talking about here. So a man can exhibit certain traits, but by the time you x-ray it with the light of righteousness, revealed standards of God, because God is not just saying that forbear your brother. You can forbear your brother, but when they look into your heart, what is there is time frame. It's a wrath of man. It cannot work out righteousness of God. So in that situation, he's going through situations that is bending him, but his soul is not really bending. How many of you know a bamboo tree that you press down? If you remove it like this, that thing will go up. immediately. So certain things can hold a person down. But remove those things, you will see that thing tower up again. So when Apostle Paul in Ephesians 4 began to say that, you know, walk worthy of your vocation, you know, in all what? Meekness and lowliness. Forbearing one another in love. Forbearance cannot be outside love. It is where? In love. So any forbearance you are doing that is not in love is not real forbearance. You're just passing time. It has not been formed in you. So when you say forbearing one another in love, that's why I like that it's a progression. You can never even forbear. You know what's forbearance? Forbearance is you are creating room in your heart for your brother. You are creating room in your heart for your sister. But you cannot do that until you are meek and lowly. What's meek and lowliness? Is a nature formation. When you look at the Godhead, you know, that descent is meekness. That descent is lowliness. Although they have all the advantage. He said he made himself of no reputation. So sometimes you have certain reputation. You can take your own house by yourself and not allow anybody to stay with you. You are that rich. But descent is that you intentionally, you choose. Say, I choose. I choose life. You know, when you say meekness, say your thought should not be exalted above measure. Don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. I mean, there's a way you must begin to think of yourself. Truly, every man thinks highly of himself. Every man, forget it, every man thinks highly of himself. No matter how quiet and reserved the man is, he thinks highly of himself. In fact, you can even bring in brethren to stay with you. But when they x-ray your heart, it's because you feel that you are still at advantage. You don't see that God is having mercy on you by those people coming. Because brethren staying with you is a mercy. It's a mercy. You don't deserve it. You don't deserve to have the brethren of Jesus. You don't deserve it. I don't deserve it. But when a brother comes to stay with you, you should be kneeling on your feet and say, thank you, Jesus. It's a way of thinking. You're not like the world that say, well, we noticed you didn't have where to stay. We just, okay, let's just, you can just come. But the state of that heart is still high. You still feel you are doing that person a favor. So forbearing is that you are creating room in your heart for the other person. All goodness. Can we say all goodness? 1 Timothy chapter 2, that was saying that we should pray for those in authority. And now capital B, now say, for this is good and acceptable in the sight of God. I'll be like, praise, I know a good person. As long as you are complaining about those people. Murmuring, complain. Those are traits that are not good. Really, before you attain goodness, there must be like a cycle of righteousness to attain a good. You must be right and right and right and right to attain a good. No, there are just certain things that scripture says it is good. For example, it said how good and pleasant it is for brethren to dwell together in unity. That's a good estate. Good is like an estate. To dwell together in unity. Before you can get here, those brethren must have used righteousness over and over again. They must have defined standards. Defined standards. I particularly like a place, Romans chapter 3, verse 21 and 22. Say, but now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and prophet. Even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ. Can we say unto all? And what? Upon all them that believe. It's two things. So, righteousness can be revealed to you. But the intent of righteousness, not just that it can be revealed to you. It can also come upon you. That come upon me is that you take it and you wear it as a garment. It's unto and upon. It's two things. It is when you have taken righteousness over upon again and again and again. That is where they can now say that you are attaining the person of good. Yes. Proverbs 18:5 says, it is not good to accept the person of the wicked, to overthrow the righteous in judgment. Now, when you say as a person of the wicked, it's not that somebody is doing bad, I don't want him to come near me. You can express person of the wicked. So it is standards of righteousness that will make you see persons of wicked that are already existing within you. And to kill it. Certain times when you say certain things, what you're expressing person of wicked. When you react in certain ways, you are reacting according to the standards of person of wicked. And if we continue like that, we will never attain unto good. So to attain unto good, there must be standards of righteousness. Look at what Jesus says. Say, let us fulfill all righteousness. Say, let us do this. We know that that cycle of righteousness has been coming from a point. That where that thing will climax is that he must be buried under water by somebody lower than him. So Jesus was tracing that cycle of righteousness. And he knew that at that point, if I can do this, the Father will speak. He knew. And immediately, John the Baptist also wanted to prove humble. No, at some point, there are some things you must fight for. There are some obediences you must fight for. That you must look into where you are staying and say that what is lacking in this place? Let me do it. If I look like the least person that everybody is walking upon, let me be that person. Why? Because the Father is tracing a cycle of righteousness over you. That by the time you arrive at a particular point, that you can reach all righteousness in that area, the Father will open up. Father will open up. I said, this is my beloved son, in whom I'm what? Well pleased. Well pleased. So the secret of the pleasure of the Father is hidden in all righteousness that can bring us to attain unto all good. Psalm 119 verse 71. It is good for me that I have been afflicted, that I might learn thy statutes. So we can see that it's possible for a person to be undergoing affliction and he will not learn. Because the standard in that heart is that certain affliction is not for learning. Certain affliction just like, why am I going through all this? Why am I like this? Why am I like that? But this psalmist knew the essence of that thing. Said that I might learn thy statutes. Proverbs 3:27 said, do not withhold good when it is in their power. Withhold not good from them to whom it is due when it is in thy power of thy hand to do it. Certain people are being celebrated. And then you begin to see jealousy rise up in your heart. What standard of righteousness will do to you? It will help you to identify that this is not how things ought to be. And will teach you to also appreciate that person. Celebrate that person. And don't turn the person's celebration to your own. One of the things that we usually do, when somebody is sharing how they are going through certain things, we also want to quickly say, is that what you have gone through? Come and hear my own. All truth, Colossians 1:16. The spirit-filled life is one bounded by truth, which is the nature of the Holy Spirit himself. The Spirit leads, guides, and trains with truth. The spirit-filled life is therefore one where truth is exalted and revealed and engaged by the believer. The spirit-filled life constitutes the liberations, victories, and reigns of life that are attainable by engaging truth through constant communion with the Spirit. Cleansing, sanctification, and freedom are characters of the nature and fruits born from the spirit-filled life. Just as righteousness, goodness, and truth exists in degrees, according to the measure of mystery being revealed, so also the character of the nature and fruit possessed by the believer varies by the degree of life attained. These characters of spirit-filled life prove the nature and fruit that is truly acceptable by the Lord. No, in conclusion, just to talking about still the cycle of righteousness unto goodness, unto truth, Apostle Paul was making us to realize in Romans 14 and 1 Corinthians 8 that meat sacrificed to idols are nothing. You know that's the righteousness. You know it's righteousness. To know that's like, is right. Food sacrificed unto idols are nothing. But in following that cycle of righteousness, it must come to that point also that for my brother's sake, I will not eat this thing if it will affect my brother. So you can begin a cycle of righteousness and end it. We have not entered goodness. So your conscience is not yet made good until you can x-ray the full imprint and import of righteousness. And you follow the clocking until you arrive at all. And you know, truth is what makes free. When you talk about truth, you say that you shall continue my word. So there's a continuation that leads to truth. Truth is not what you meet at the beginning. It's by reason of use and continuity. Say, and ye shall know the truth. And the truth shall do what? Shall make you free. Lastly, a spirit-filled life is not measured by a believer's outward piousness or religious naivety, but by the expression of godly character, entrenched in and drawn from the Spirit. It's not a rehearsed artificial life, but one imparted and formed progressively by the Spirit. This formation is essential for the development of the nature of love
and its fruits through the Spirit. So we can see that a Spirit-filled life is one that we can test through the litmus test of what? All righteousness, all goodness, and what? All truth. So when you look at yourself, when you examine certain things, this calls for sober reflection. It calls for withdrawing yourself and looking into your attitude, looking into your action, looking into your thoughts, looking into certain ways that you have been living life. And, you know, you examine them upon the parameters of all righteousness. That the reason why I'm doing this thing, is it for that which perisheth? Is it for that which passes away? That when they look at your hope, Lamentations 3, it is good for a man to hope and quietly wait on the Lord. So when they x-ray you, when they x-ray your responses and reaction, is it because of that which passes away? Or you are beginning to see beyond the ephemeral? You are beginning to see the invisible into the person of Jesus. I just thank God for this afternoon.
We can just say a word of prayer just to thank you, Lord Jesus. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus. In Jesus' mighty name we have prayed. Amen. Amen. How many of us were blessed by Pastor Praise? Thank you so much. That was such a thorough job. You can appreciate him under the atmosphere of the Spirit. Amen. Just to add to you what you have done, sir. One of the things that I just feel, you know, this teaching is doing for us is that it is teaching us the life of the inn. The life of the inn. Because it's very, very easy for a believer, for a Christian, to be filled with so many outward activities, outward charismatic arrangements. You know, Pastor Prey said something, for example, that depending on the company that you company with, for example, when you come to a company like this, the Lord has given us a lot of breakthrough in the utterance gifts. And it is possible that you can see someone who fellowships, you know, with this word comes, and 3 months the person is giving prophecies, person is, you know, giving tongues, and that's a blessing to us, right? But, you know, from what he has taught us, those things are not necessarily, you know, the baseline indicators, you know, of true growth or change that is going on. Does it mean that's bad? No. By all reason, the scripture says that we should desire spiritual gifts. And it is given for us to profit, you know, with her. That means in addition, right? But, you know, it's just reminding me of that fig tree that Jesus saw when he was walking with the disciples. He was talking about, you know, that fig tree that was bearing a lot of leaves. You know, he said he saw a fig tree in the way. He came to it and found nothing thereon, but leaves only. And said unto it, let no fruit grow on thee henceforth forever. And presently the fig tree withered away. There's a lot of doctrine and teaching into this. It's not just only this, but I'm just picking a little aspect of this. You know, I just felt it would have been better for that fig tree to have had dry leaves or not to be having much leaves at all. So that at least when you go near, you know that there's no activity, there's no expectation on it. So one of the points, you know, I was just picking from what Pastor Praise has taught us, you know, concerning, you know, how deliberate, how intentional we should be, is that it is very easy, you know, when there's a lot of word, there's a lot of fellowship of the brethren, a lot of activities, it's very easy to mistake that or make an assumption. Yes, and take that to mean that that is also your life. That's also your communion life. You know, that is also your means of fruit bearing. Yes, it does a work. It is supposed to do a work, but there's also an assignment for us, you know, to be able to carry out internally, you know, and I trust that the Lord will help us mightily in Jesus' name. Also, you know, one of the things that also came to me very strongly as Pastor Praise was teaching was that how, you know, in times past, for example, TV stations will not start till what time? Till 4 o'clock. You know, then maybe cartoon will be from 4 to 6 or so, then news, then everything, then at 12, they will sing national anthem, and you'll see those green, yellow, white lines, and everybody will go to sleep, you know, and everything was okay. Was everything not okay? Everything was okay. If you had a planner, you use your diary, You want to write phone numbers. We used to have that diary where you write people's phone numbers, you know. But now, in the age that we are in, we are bombarded with content, you know, 24/7. You know, there are many arguments you give for technology. Yes, if there's no content, are we going to be able to stream meetings? We're not going to be able to do this. Of course, definitely. You know, there are always, by the wisdom of God, there are always great ways to, you know, use and not abuse the advantages that we have. But it's also good to see the intent behind the machinations behind these things. That content, those multiplicity, abundance of content, right, is to prevent us, you know, from being content with how God wants us to spend our time. That's the real aim of it. It looks as if it gives us more options. It looks as if it makes life more interesting. After all, before now, we have it all the time. But the real intention is to, first of all, reduce your attention span. So, for example, like at work now, we are trying to do, well, I say an experiment. We are trying to prepare for skills of the future. And I was surprised. They said one of the skills of the future. I was shocked. One of the skills that will be in high demand in the future is what? Attention to detail. Is that not supposed to be basic? But what you are having now is because of the abundance of content hitting you right, left, and center. The average mind is fragmented. You can't stay on something for long. And the real aim of that is not that maybe you won't be intelligent, you won't do your book, you won't do this. No. The intention is that we will not be able to wait on the Lord. You can't just stay in the Lord's presence. You can't wait on a word. You hear maybe daddy saying something like, this word came to me. I woke up with it. I will pray with it. It will go. It will come back. I will do 3 weeks, 4 weeks. How many of us find it difficult to have those experiences? Me, honestly, I find it difficult to have those experiences. I always love it. That I wish I can be chewing one word for like 2 weeks. Do you understand? Until I come into one breakthrough. So there are many pressures without that are fighting the believer. So the warfare that we are fighting now, honestly, yes, it's still the same enemy, but the intensity, just like daddy was saying, that you can have little life, but just know that hell is what? Enlarging his mouth. You can't afford to have the same kind of posture. No, we must have a more aggressive posture of intentionality, of deliberateness, to be able to shut out, you know, the different kind of content that is coming. Now, does it mean you should not engage with content? Of course, even we release content, right? So there's right content. That's where judgment comes into. You understand? In terms of our moderation, in terms of our discernment, what we consume, what we don't consume, when and how. But I'm just saying that, like Apostle Paul said, that evil is present with me. You don't need to go out. You can be at home. You may not step out, but you can visit the whole world by scrolling and scrolling. So you see, Satan has given us a generation now of scrolling so that we abandon the ancient scrolls. So that the scrolls of scripture will be something that is alien to us. We'll keep on scrolling and scrolling away. But you see people like Daniel, that scrolls were brought to them. He said, by reason of the books, you know. And there was a place where Daniel, you know, you would check when Pastor Praise was talking about routine. When the king gave a command that they should not pray, he said, Daniel knelt down, faced the window. He said, as in the day. He wasn't just doing it like in spookiness. You know, some of us are spooky. The moment at work, they say, everybody face your work. That's the day you now start streaming School of the Spirit loud in your office. That's spookiness. That's disorderliness. But see what they said concerning Daniel. They said, as in the days of his, as he has been doing it from old. He couldn't stop that thing. He has been doing it from old. He wasn't just trying to show off. It was a deliberate pattern. So when you see those men, the scripture says that now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house and his windows, opened up his chambers towards Jerusalem. He kneeled upon his knees 3 times a day and prayed and gave thanks before a God. What? As he did aforetime. So it wasn't a new thing. It wasn't something that he was just trying to show. Those are things they've been keeping since Jerusalem, before even captivity when they came. The pleasure of captivity couldn't change it by reason of deliberateness of keeping consecration. So I just want to tell yourself, are you scrolling away? Me, I'm guilty of it, so I'm not just trying to come and maybe because I'm with the mic. You know, it's very easy. Even sometimes you are checking scripture, let me check the meaning of this word. From this word, you don't know where you enter Instagram. Before you know it, you don't even know where you started again. Holy Ghost will just be like this. So I trust that the Lord will grant us help. So just know that there's warfare against us.
And the warfare does not need to look so diabolic. It looks natural. It's ever present with us. And one of the major ones, you know, is the abundance of content that is around us. And the Lord must help us to be able to engage. The scripture says everything should be done with what? Moderation. Because what? The Lord is at hand. So that we don't also miss the Lord, even in that which looks intentionally right. Amen. And as we also move on, Pastor Praise also mentioned something. He said something that, and this scripture stuck out to me. Jeremiah chapter 8 verse 20. The harvest is past. The summer is ended. And we are not saved. Now, you know, it is possible. Just like in 1 Corinthians 13. You know, one of the things that I've heard Daddy talk about also is that you also have Christian groups that have a doctrine of bearing fruit and life in the Spirit. But it is not by the Spirit. And it's very possible to get stuck in those things. They have disciplines. They have rules. They have regulations. You can even mention the hidden life of Christ. If you are a serious Christian, you will like those things. But you can get stuck. It takes a conditioning of the Spirit. Like Pastor Praise also mentioned, righteousness is not just a rule book. It is a revelation of increasing standards of what God will have us to do, you know, from faith to faith as we are joined, from obedience, from the obedience of faith to the obedience of faith. And it is quickened by the Spirit. The scripture says that there's a righteousness that comes by the law and it cannot save any man. But there's a righteousness that comes by the obedience of faith, you know, by all those who believe. So, you know, it is possible that we can put ourselves through certain crucibles. We can put ourselves through certain, you know, disciplines. We can put ourselves through certain mannerisms, right? But if without the Spirit, it's coming from the leading and the dealing of the Spirit, it will not produce salvation. So that harvest can pass. That summer can pass and still will not be saved. But yet there will be other seeds in that same field that can still respond, you know, by reason of that. I trust God that, you know, we'll find grace. Pastor Praise has already done enough work on that. I trust God that as we listen, you know, in the course of the week, you know, we'll find grace, you know, concerning that. So we must be careful. You know, there's a way we want to be deliberate. Okay, yes, this week I want to learn long-suffering. I want to learn this. So you see some people say, I'm good in long-suffering, but I'm not really good in kindness, sha. I'm good in this. I'm not really. It doesn't work like that. When you eat food, do you say, this food be going to my leg, let it grow my toe. This one is on my hair. This one is not you that does that. It is operation, administration, manifestation. The scripture says that Paul planted Apollos water, but who gave the increase? It's God. So our own, just be eating, just be obeying, just be aligning, just be responding, and God will give the increase. I want us to bow down our heads and pray.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.